Welcome to Art Worlds. Today we are joined by Emily Muchika, a design lecturer whose work centers on creating supportive spaces for Kenya's elderly. Emily's research draws from Christopher Alexander's design patterns to explore how urban environments can foster connection and dignity for older adults, especially as many face isolation due to urban migration. In this episode, we'll hear about her vision for inclusive human-centered design and the cultural nuances that make her work so impactful. Let's dive in. Welcome to Took Podcast, where we discuss design subjects with our design lecturers. I'm your host, James Madoya, and today we have...
Madam Emily Muchika.
Thank you for gracing our stage today. We'd like to know a bit of information about you. Could you tell us a bit about your background and how you became involved in design and creative media?
I remember when I was in primary school, there was a paper that had been strewn on the floor. It had Mickey Mouse on it. I got excited. I told myself, okay, I can draw this. So I went home, drew it, came back. I showed my friend. I showed him the picture and he said, I don't believe that you're the one who drew it. I was like, I am the one who drew it. He was like, prove. So the whole of that term, actually, It was me trying my best to validate. I'm the one who drew this. So I drew so many things. And then later on, he said, okay, now I believe you. When I went to Egerton University, that's when I understood, okay, there's something called interior design. I used to live in Buruburu. Mm-hmm. There was this college called Buruburu Institute of Finance. During holidays, I went there for teaching practice. I went there, told them, okay, I don't really understand what interior design is all about. Just take me under your wing, because I really need to understand what it is all about. I looked at their syllabus and then realized these are the major areas I should be looking at. Furniture design, mm-hmm. interior architecture, interior furnishings and accessories, a bit of landscape design. So at least that's when now I got to understand a bit of it, because what we were learning at Egerton then was graphics design. We did not have lecturers for interior design. So it gave me motivation to say, okay, there's a gap here. I think I'd want to study more. If I'm going to do my master, then let me major it on interior design. Yes.
Yeah, that's an interesting background.
Yes.
So next question. What is your current role and responsibility as a tutorial fellow in Department of Design and Creative Media?
Well, it is multifaceted. I have to teach and also mentor the students at the department. Secondly, research in areas like curriculum development and topics that affect the community. You have to keep abreast on what is happening in the industry. You have to actually do projects. Because if you're teaching students and you're not practicing, then you're not giving real-world solutions.
How did your experiences at Egerton University and the University of Nairobi influence your career?
Us lacking a lecturer specifically catered to interior design made me now want to fill the gap, at least just to be among the lecturers in the country. Nairobi University opened my mind in terms of how to conceptualize ideas, solving problems. You just don't solve problems surface level. You have to solve problems in a human-centered way. When you're looking at human-centered problems, you solve according to the needs and experiences of different individuals. If I've been given a project, I have to study everything about the needs of that individual before I start offering solutions.
Can you share a memorable teaching moment or a project that you are particularly proud of?
Maybe just I mention one. Sarit Center gave us the brief to propose stands that were environmentally friendly. One of the things that stood out was how students went about designing and coming up with a solution. You could see how they were collaborating together, coming up with different proposals, trying to solve different aspects, starting from branding to furniture to exhibition and display. There were around six groups. Each solution was unique.
What advice would you give to students or professionals looking to stay ahead in this rapidly changing field?
This would go to the students. Once you finish your course, do not run and start a company. You need to make mistakes. Make mistakes under the guidance of someone. You need to be mentored. For you to be considered an interior designer, you need to work under someone at least for 3 years. You need to ground yourself in the field of interior design.
That's the best advice. Have you collaborated with any industry professionals or organization and share a brief insight?
I've collaborated with the Architectural Association of Kenya, the Interior Design Chapter. Their objective is to professionalize the built environment. Currently in Kenya, we have associations trying to professionalize the industry, but it is not legally recognized. Once you are in an association, at least you are protected. If a client has not paid you, you have the backing of the association to fight for your rights. Actually, I'm one of the founders for the chapter for interior design. Yes.
Is it readily available for graduates?
Yes. There's a link I can leave at the end of this podcast, how you can join and become a member.
That's interesting. So about your research and projects, according to your current research of Christopher Alexander's pattern language, what are the key components of Alexander's design philosophy that are relevant to elderly housing?
Christopher Alexander is heavily into the built environment. We start seeing Christopher Alexander's work back in 1977. His work has been instrumental not only in the built environment, but also other areas like IT. Christopher Alexander, he came up with patterns, I can call them ways of solving problems. And he came up with 253 of them. When you're looking at those patterns, they solve problems for human life. For example, maybe if you're going to design for an elderly, this is how to go about it. If you're going to design for a residential, then this is how to go about it. And it starts from very broad to very specific. Everything is interconnected from towns to neighborhoods.
So which ones are relevant to elderly housing?
First of all, you need to understand what is more important for an elderly person. Number one is the need for connection. They do not want to be isolated. Number two, they want to be able to do the things they do every day, activities of daily living. They need to be able to access different things. They also need to be grounded in their culture. Yeah. And they do not want to live alone. But currently what is happening? There's rural-urban migration. Where are the old people being left? Do they have family around them?
But the elderly are nowadays settling around Nairobi.
Which brings me back to my point. They're settling around Nairobi. Case in point, my father. My father, he's built a home. He's staying here. He does not want a tependa nyumbani. He does not want to go home. Why? Because everything he knows is in Nairobi. When you talk to him, he says, if you send me home, you're practically just telling me to go and die. He's not near his children. Everyone he knows is here in Nairobi. But the problem is the buildings are not catering to the old people. And there's another issue. Now we are introducing affordable housing. If you look at the plans, they only cater to people who are young, people like you. For example, maybe one pattern they're talking about is designing social spaces where the elderly people can interact with other people. If there's a neighborhood, that neighborhood should have all those amenities.
On a couple of estates nowadays, there are benches which can swing, the play field. But most people who live in these estates don't like to interact. Still go back to the same problem. People like to stay on their own. What unique aspects of the urban elderly experience in Kenya does the study intend to highlight through its design approach?
Disrupted family structures. Number two, health issues of the elderly. Policy and legal gaps. Even if I'm talking about let's build neighborhoods that cater to the elderly, it has to be backed by policy and legal requirements. So you have to go back to the government. I must say that the government has tried to come up with policies that cater to the elderly. But there's no intervention catering specifically to housing. Also, catering to social isolation and loneliness. You're also looking at economic security and poverty, because all these things go together.
Okay. On to your personal insights. Who or what has been the biggest influence on your career?
My parents, obviously. My peers. Some people, you see how they're conducting their business, you're like, wow. In my future self, I'd like to be like this person. Case in point, I would say Charles Chetty.
The lecturer?
Yes, the lecturer. We normally have a group where different professionals, we meet and just talk about the challenges, our successes, you know. And then you get motivated to navigate this design field.
So how do you stay motivated and inspired in your work?
Setting up goals for the year. Of course, those goals need to be achievable. If they're not achievable, then I have to go back and just see what I achieved and what I did not achieve. What were the challenges I experienced? And then just to see how to go about it.
We are almost done. On your closing thoughts, what advice would you give to aspiring designers and creative media professionals?
Design is always changing. You will not stop reading. You always have to keep researching. Keep researching. What you thought was working maybe back then will not be working in future. So you have to keep on reading. As in, it will never stop.
Now, what would be your take on the current AI revolution that's happening? because you've seen
Anguka Nayo.
I know we've seen
Anguka Nayo. AI can only take you so far. You can use it to your advantage if you want. That's what I say. You cannot stop technology.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so tanguka tu nayo.
You know, a lot of people are trying to oppose it, but it's like the internet revolution. May I find it like when the internet came about, people are really opposing it.
Yeah.
Until now, everyone is using the
internet.
Everyone
is using it. Yeah.
So it's the same case. Of course, there are going to be a lot of people who will lose their jobs.
Yes.
A lot of things will happen, but I feel like everyone needs to embrace it.
Yes.
Because it makes work faster.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what design is trying to do.
Yeah.
Make work faster and easier. So I feel like people need to embrace it.
I think you should talk to Mr. Bundi, because he uses it a lot. And he showed us how he uses it to his advantage.
Yeah, if you use it to your advantage, you have the background knowledge, then you use it to your advantage, I feel like it would work. There's no need in wasting time drafting a lot of things, and AI can do it. So the last question, what's your take on the current Gen Z revolution?
It's a good thing. It has actually awakened so many people who are taking advantage of the situation in Kenya. I'm hoping for a positive outcome, especially on our leaders who are assuming that they will continue doing things as they were and not have consequences. So I'm just hoping that even some of them, their hearts have been touched to at least work for the people and not work for themselves.
So, okay. Thank you for gracing our podcast. It was nice to have you. It has been very interactive. I've learned a lot personally.
Thank you.
And I know that was just on
iceberg.
The surface. Yeah.
Okay.
We could really learn a lot from you.
Yes, thank you.
So thank you. I've been your host, James Madoya, and signing out is
Emily Muchika, Tutorial Fellow, Environmental Design.
We are going to share the links of her works and her social media in a few.